Hello, we're here today to talk about the 2020 Most Negotiated Terms research study undertaken conjointly between World Commerce and Contracting and ICERTIS. It's met with tremendous interest out in the market because, of course, this is a dramatic year of disruption and change. So what's that done to the Most Negotiated Terms? That, of course, is a question that many people want an answer to because it is so important to them to achieve business growth, to get greater resilience of supply chains, and negotiation obviously plays such a major component in all of that. So a few of the really interesting elements I think that people are wanting to know about and which we are fascinated to talk about. One is that the Most Negotiated Terms this time round shows much greater variation, particularly by industry, than has been the case in the past. And there are many people beginning to use the data in that report to support their development of negotiation planning, to get better understanding of the potential trade-offs within negotiation, particularly where those are crossing industry boundaries and the priorities are different. And I think one of the other really important points coming out is that negotiators appreciate their need to show much greater empathy for their counterparties in these truly testing times. Second, I think too, we're hearing much more about the challenge of how do we support our business growth and our business re-emergence of strength, I suppose, for our business through critical terms such as innovation and associated enablers, incentives for that, such as gain share. And it's fascinating to many of us to see those terms still languishing way down at the bottom of the Most Negotiated table. And what we're hearing from our members at World Commerce and Contracting is that many of them are really struggling with what is good practice when you want to create some of these added value terms and really embed them better in the contract. The perhaps a flow through from that and from the first point I made was the utilization of this report as a framework for developing internal training. One of the big findings of the study was a high proportion of negotiators feeling the world has changed and we need to retrain, our colleagues need to retrain, that negotiation is not what it was. And I think the final point before I pass across is around the importance of thinking about portfolios. The Most Negotiated Terms study is, if you like, the analysis of negotiation portfolios and activities on a global basis. But what about internal? What about those companies that have come to us or come to ICERTIS and said, hey, can you help us to do this sort of analysis internally to get a benchmark? The power and importance of analytics, of looking across the portfolio of contract and of contract negotiators to build up business intelligence is something that is absolutely now paramount for many leading organizations. So Paula, let me pass to you. What are you thinking and hearing?
Yes, Tim. I'm firstly going to start with what our surveys revealed, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about the member meetings I've been having and the feedback I've been getting from them, and particularly around this point about around data and analytics, as you mentioned. Well, firstly, our survey has confirmed something that we already suspected. Organizations are not properly harnessing and analyzing data around negotiations specifically. Many cannot quickly get their hands on deviations agreed from even their standard terms, final positions taken, most popular client terms, etc. It gets even more complex to understand what is happening when you try to look across jurisdictions. Additionally, most of the time there is insufficient data being collected about what templates, clauses prove problematic when dealing with claims. Our survey indicates that negotiators generally know the reasons behind claims, but this data is not being analysed or acted upon to have an effect on future negotiations. Lessons learned meetings are taking place, but there is little evidence that these lessons produce any action or any actions that have a consistent positive impact. Since the publication of our most negotiated terms report, as I said, we have had a number of meetings with our members to discuss them. Overwhelmingly, they conceded that they are not capturing and utilizing data in a meaningful way. Without fail, they all say they want to do better. We also know that value leakage from contracts is responsible for huge losses within organizations over time. Often the more complex the engagement, the greater the loss. Companies should and must improve their collection and utilization of meaningful data from negotiations. Bernadette, what role do you see technology playing here?
Yes, thanks, Paula. Absolutely, technology has to play a role. But before I go into the technology, what I'll say is oftentimes when we see companies starting this journey, their contract intelligence, contract analytics journey, there are so many things that they can count, so many things that they can measure, and it could be so daunting and overwhelming. So Paula and Tim, I've probably been in similar conversations again, where people have this desire to collect all this information, but they're really at a loss at where to begin. And that's why I appreciate the data that we have from the 2020 most negotiated terms, because to understand how to start that data journey and what to mine from your contracts, you need to be able to work across the business to understand what you should measure. And turning to research reports like the MNT helps frame those conversations. So you can start off by educating yourself by using that data, but then using that framework with your business partners, with procurement, with legal, with IT, with the teams that own the relationships after execution, and really ask, what was most negotiated? What is most important to you? And so before I even jump into the technology, being able to frame that within the business, right? It's people and process first before technology and data. But having something like MNT really helps frame those conversations so that when you do have technology in place and when you are refining those processes, you are developing the right data pools that are important to your business and objectives. And what better time to do that now? You know, we're a month from the publication of the report. We're a few months away from 2021. Teams are getting ready right now, just as you've described, Paula, to think about their templates, to actually help mine data to understand how far that they've deviated and how that will translate into maybe new clauses entering into a clause library, how they may revise a particular template and share that across jurisdictions, as well as how they train both incoming members of contracting professionals, as well as the existing teams. So technology plays an important part of that, but what I'd like to emphasize for those that are thinking about contract data, contract intelligence, that they think about the conversations they need to have to really be a North Star as they develop that analytics journey, and then let technology help you along the way. Tim, I'm curious if you're hearing similar pains and challenges and optimism about 2021. Based on what they've learned in this year's MNT.
Yes, Bernadette, thank you. And thank you, Paula. I think the excitement here is around the realization that we really do need to focus our minds much more on the integrity of contract data management, that the big thing perhaps the pandemic has thrown up is just the cost of today's fragmentation of data, the fact that it sits in these isolated systems and that nobody can readily access and get visibility to what is really going on in the business. So I see 2021 bringing us some really big changes in that direction. So I think big themes and topics will indeed be contract data management. And of course, from that, you can obtain contract intelligence. And that, of course, is transformational in terms of the value that businesses can generate, but also, of course, the value that those in the contracting and commercial community can really bring to the business. So having listened to all of this, I think probably there are going to be two big questions on many people's lips. One is, what more can you offer us? And the other one is going to be, where can I get a copy of this report? So, in terms of the answers on those two, well, of course, any of us on this podcast would be delighted to hear from you with your questions. We've touched on the point that if you want a sort of internal version of this survey run so that you can gather and create some benchmark information around your business, or indeed, importantly, start to generate insight and understanding of how the answer might vary depending upon which business division you're looking at, what type of contract you're thinking about, what country you may be operating in. These are all distinguishing factors that, of course, in order to do intelligent contracting, we need to understand. But in terms of where you can get a copy, well, please do just go to the iCertis website or indeed to the World Commerce and Contracting website where you can access, download, read to your heart's content either before or after speaking to us. So thanks very much for being with us. Thank you, Paula. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks a lot, Bernadette.
Well, and our thanks always to World Commerce and Contracting.